Next speaker is Dimen Fan. His title of his presentation is Three-Dimensional Visualization and Trajectory Analysis of Colloidal Transport in Saturated Porous Media Under Unfavorable Conditions.
Thank you for Dr. Gruber for the introduction, and thank you for your last presentation. Make a good transition to my work. So in the next 15 minutes, hopefully, I want to invite all you guys to the microscopic world. I'm going to talk about the colloid transport and deposition in porous media under unfavorable conditions. We specifically focus on three-dimensional visualization and trajectory analysis. First, with a little bit background introduction, there's numerous work has demonstrated that significant deviation occurs from class filtration theory. Under unfavorable conditions, there are several mechanisms listed here as been proposed to account for this deviation. Among them, straining, wedging, and retention in flow stagnation region has drawn a lot of interest because actually all of this process happened in green-green contact region, which is not included in the class filtration theory. And Scott has done a lot of work on this. And the preferential deposition in green-green contact region is mainly due to the reduced hydrodynamics and size constrictions. There are also following scenarios being developed to describe the translocation of colloids from the surface to the green-green contact region for those colloids associating a secondary energy minimum. However, to verify those hypotheses elucidated either from the column experiment or the numerical modeling, we really need direct visualized evidence to support our hypothesis. That's why porous scale visualization has been widely applied in colloid transport studies. But so far, in terms of its application, there are major two aspects. One is qualitative aspects, mainly by describing the qualitative deposition pattern of colloid in porous media. The other one is the quantitative aspects in terms of like particle counting or two-dimensional particle tracking. But unfortunately, none of this study have been able to visualize the real three-dimensional colloid motions inside the porous media. That's really increased the difficulty to our understanding of some three-dimensional process like straining or wedging, or like Mark said, the translocation of a colloid to a liquid air interface. So that's the start point of our research. So this study, with the help of the high-speed confocal microscope, we, for the first time to our best knowledge, provide a detailed investigation of three-dimensional colloid motions inside the porous medium. We want to investigate the transport and deposition behavior of colloids in the green-green contact region because it's so important. We also want to evaluate the role and importance of the green-green contact region in retaining colloids under unfavorable conditions. So this is experiment setup with the key component of the RS5 LIFES laser scanning confocal microscope. So basically, we packed our microflow cell with porous media and placed on top of objective lens. The laser will come through the bottom of flow cell and penetrate into the porous media, illuminate the fluorescent particles. The porous media here we use is glass beads with diameter of 200 micrometer or cents. And the colloids we here used is 1.1 micrometer diameter microspheres. We specifically like make the colloids and grain size ratio of 0.005, so to match the critical size ratio has been proposed by the literature for straining or wedging to be prevalent. To make our aqueous solution visible, we add some rhodamine B as dye into our solution, so make our solution looks like red fluorescent. We ran our experiment at two different ionic strengths and also did experiment at a static system to compare with our flow system. So I hope it's clear. So this is a typical the left one is a typical two-dimensional confocal images that are taken during the visualization. And this black big sphere is the solid grains, and this green dot point up arrow is the colloid, and the red part is a pore water. What typically high-speed confocal can do is scan a fixed XY domain at different Z locations at a very fast speed, where here I'm not making it super fast, but where we get a decent speed. For example, typically 512 by 512 pixel images, we get 30 frames per second along the Z-axis. So that can help us to retain as much information as possible to record the color motions. Also, we can ensure the identical colors being tracked at different time points, because for the each cycle, you take like 1 second. You capture target colored images at a different one-second time interval. The next step is to positioning the XYZ coordinates of your target colloids. This is basically done by the analyzing the fluorescence intensity of your target colloid, which can be accomplished by the integrated confocal software that come with the machine. So the first one is determine the Z location of your target colloids. We find the focal plane where the colloid really is. Once we find the colloid really is, we zoom into the region where the colloid is and locate the center of the colloid to determine the X and the Y coordinates. Based on the measured coordinates, we can further determine the velocity, average velocity, either during the entire tracking period or during the each time interval. Okay. So this figure on the left shows a typical three-dimensional trajectory that we reconstructed based on visualized experiments. The red dashed curve represented the estimated location of the green to green contact plane, where two grains are exactly contact with each other. And notice that the Z-axis has been enlarged, so we magnify the Z movement of the colloid. Interestingly, we find that most of the colloids share the similar trajectory, similar shape of trajectory. You can see most of the colloids try to have this parabolic shape of trajectory either in the entire tracking period or during a certain period of the tracking. This observation means that instead of colloid going towards the green-green contact plane, the colloid rather take a detour in the Z-axis to avoid entering a small volume region around the contact plane. That has a strong implication on the role of hydrodynamics, because if you imagine there are the streamline flowing through the two green contact with each other, the streamline will rather try to diverge from the contact point, because the region near the contact point has really slow flow regime. Then we further define the distance between this point, the bottom part of the trajectory, to the green-green contact point at the Z-max value. And we map our tracked colloids by their average velocity during the entire tracking period with respect to the maximum the Z-max as defined in the previous slides. Then we found, compared to our experiment used Darcy velocity, all of the colloids have a significantly slower velocity. That demonstrated hydrodynamics significantly reduced in the green-green contact region. But however, we also observe a qualitative agreement. As you increase the Z-max values, you somehow also increase the colloid average velocity, which is reasonable to understand. Because all of these colloids are coming actually from different scanning domains. So we certainly can expect some variance that indicates the effects of the local hydrodynamic conditions or pore orientations. Like for example, the colloid here has a similar velocity here, but it's actually located farther away from the green-green contact point. But we also observe some significant deviations, like the colloid here has a very, very low speed, but so intuitively, they should have a higher velocity. So in the next few slides, we're going to pick several typical colloids as a function of the distance to the contact point to present their detailed behaviors that are captured in our visualization process. The first one is interception. That's the most frequently observed pattern of colloid movement in our visualization. So this figure 8 here is the XY projection of colloid number 11, if you remember the number that in the previous slides. From the projection here, it's a two-dimensional projection, actually. From the projection, we can see here, pretty clearly the color coming from the aqueous phase and landing on the surface and moving along the surface and moving away. If you look at their Z movement profile, it is represented by this blue curve, and it shows a very nice parabolic shape. And surprisingly, that velocity variation also consistent very well with the Z movement profile. As the color reaches the maximum Z distance to the contact point, the velocity peaks as well. This figure shows actually at a higher ionic strength, this interception can actually induce the immobilization of colloid. Actually, this colloid is finally immobilized by the surface right here, and we observe the trajectory drops, the velocity drops from the peak to around 2 micrometers per second. That indicated colloid has been significantly retarded by the surface. Also, this is consistent with the DRV calculation. We calculate the secondary energy minimum depths for this high ionic strength condition. We have 14 kT of depths, while at the low ionic strength, we only have half 0.5 kT. So as we further move towards the green-green contact point, we have the reduced hydrodynamics. Certainly, the Brownian diffusion may play a comparably important part to create a more disturbed moving pattern. This is demonstrated by this XY projection of color number 5. We can see the trajectory is not as smooth as the previous one, but it's more disturbed. So one thing I want to point out here is if you look at the Z movement pattern, it still shows like the parabolic shape, although not that perfect, but the velocity have significant variations. The parabolic shape of the Z movement still shows that the hydrodynamic may still play somehow important part in orienting the colloids away from the contact point. But this intensive velocity variation certainly demonstrated other factors may have some effect. So we further calculate the tangential velocity and normal velocity of this colloid during the entire tracking period. So here, during the period 1, where the colloid is moving from the aqueous phase towards surface, we certainly can both the tangential velocity and the normal velocity decreases. This is reasonable to expect as you approach the surface, you certainly experience more resistance from the surface. But during the period 2 here, we observe that the normal velocity keeps steady at the near zero value, while the tangential velocity drops from 2 micrometers to 1 micrometer per second. That probably indicated that during the period 1, actually colloid is moving along the surface. But the relative distance between the colloid and surface shown in projection is not a real distance, so you probably do not see it's really on the surface. But during period 3, I want to point out here that the normal velocity jumped back to negative 1.2 micrometer per second. That indicated colloids is actually escaped from the surface. We propose a possible explanation here is as your colloid moving towards the green-green contact point, your hydrodynamics is significantly reduced. Once the hydrodynamic has not strong enough to continuously push the colloid moving forward, the Brownian diffusion may take a part to enforce a colloid jump between the streamline, but in this case, it enforces a colloid jump back to the aqueous phase. So as we further go into the green-green contact point, we observe a negligible hydrodynamics. It's an entire different scenario. So we certainly observe that a small fraction of colloids can actually get into this green-green contact region. But their motion is dominantly controlled by the Brownian diffusion. We term it as straining or wedging, but I'll put a quote here, because the Zmax value is actually 15 microns larger than the calculated value if you based on the diameter of colloids in the glass beads for the straining or wedging process. But we certainly observe the very different pattern of colloid movement. Here, this pattern shows the pretty random movement pattern, and also for the Z movement, we do not observe the parabolic shape, and for the velocity variation is very intensive and keep it at a very low value. So here we propose that a straining or wedging is completely diffusion controlled at this size ratio of 0.005, and the important, we also propose the importance of surface actions at this conditions to induce the straining process, because we observed a similar behavior at the low ionic strength of this moving pattern, but no retention was resulted. The final one is retardation in the flow stagnation region at the Zmax value around 30 micron. So here, the experiment was done at a low ionic strength, so we suppose do not have much secondary energy minimum, but still observe that the colloid being retarded in this region for over 1 minute. And also the Z movement confirm our idea, and the velocity variation keeps at a very low value. But keep in mind that the complete flow stagnation region is not frequently observed in this experiment. We further compare our results with the static system. So for static, for both colloid number 7 and number 10, their mean square displacement is similar to the colloid that tracked in the static system, but significantly lower than the colloid number 5, which is previously shown by the combined effects of controlled by the combined effects of hydrodynamics, Brownian diffusion. Certainly, we have some implication here. So we observed that not all the retention in green-green contact region can be termed as straining or wedging form. As we move towards the green-green contact point, the controlling factor of colloid motion is also transiently changed from the hydrodynamics to Brownian diffusion. Therefore, for small colloids, they need to diffuse into this diffusion region to get strained, and largely limited by the transport. However, for the large colloids, they do not need to enter diffusion control region because their straining size is much bigger than the smaller colloids than probably located in this hydrodynamic controlled region. So they are less limited by the transport. So I want to close my presentation. The hydrodynamics significantly reduced in the green-green contact region, but still dominates the motion of most colloids passing through the pores. Then straining wedging is controlled by the mass transport at this size ratio. The flow stagnation region can significantly retard the colloid motions without secondary energy minimum. The great green contact region can be subdivided based on hydrodynamic conditions, which has strong implication on straining or wedging mechanism of different size colloids. So I want to thank the founding from USDA and Dr. Kirk Zmak at DBI for the confocal training and guidance. So I welcome questions and take your time to enjoy the movie. Yes. Yes.
With very different local scale hydrodynamics. So I guess the point that I'd like to try to make is that the hydrodynamics at a grain-to-grain contact is going to be also a function of its orientation.
Yes. But you know, in real packed pores, like random packed pores, you don't really have the perfect perpendicular, perfect.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's why we do not really observe this. You call it eddy zone in our experiment. But certainly for this movie, you can see the color really diffused in this region for up to 1 minute. So you can see this color is not moving that color, but still diffused in that region. Yes. Excuse me?
No.
Oh, based on our visualization, we do not see that. You mean the spin itself spinning?
Yeah.
Oh, of course we cannot see it. Yeah, you can mark the half red, half green. Probably you can do that.
What's the question? No, what was the question?
Oh, the effects of the result we see.
Yeah.
Here, I think we probably can, what we can see for sure is the hydrodynamic effects and the Brown diffusion, but we cannot see this tiny torque acting on the color itself. We cannot see that. Yeah. Thanks. You have a question? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just curious, how do you track the color? Because you are doing a 3D.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to combine the data into 2D.
Exactly.
So can you, I'm just curious how you track.
Yeah, that's a complicated question. So basically we first select our XY domain and we select the Z depths. For example, select Z depths at 30 microns, so we'll have 30 focal planes in our scanning domain. So the confocal microscope can really do is just scan the X domain at different Z depths. Here the Z depths. Here the Z depths, Z distance between the adjacent planes is 1 micron. So you finish the one cycle of the scanning is about 1 second, then do it again, probably 200 times.
Is that possible, like, because the focal domain, you can have one focal plane, is there any possibility
that you lose track of that? Yeah, you see sometimes the color is it's invisible, it disappears. That means the focal plane is not, the color is not on the focal plane you're currently in. But when next time you track it, next time you go back to it, because the speed is so fast, speed is so fast and the color moving into the green contact region is not that much. So you do not get much disturbance from the neighboring colloids. So you can pretty sure that's the one color you want to track, but it's not continuously tracking at different time points, at different time intervals, like say 1 second something. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thanks.